Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to consider the subject of signs from heaven and signs from hell. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, Teacher, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now John chapter 12, verse 37. But though Jesus had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him. And chapter 20, verse 30. Many other signs therefore did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, ye may have life in his name. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this day in which we live. Let us know that at times, some of us have a desire to live in the days when thy Son was on earth, but we are thankful that the life that you have distributed to us has been one of light from heaven and opportunity and open door. We thank you for these things, our God. Let us know whether we have availed ourselves of the goodnesses from heaven to our souls. But whether we have or not in the past, we desire that this morning we shall, that we might understand your overtures and the way that you go about seeking to save sinners that are lost. And if this is to be accomplished, your spirit must work in the hearts of all who are here. That is why we cast ourselves upon thee. We are as water spilled upon the ground that cannot be gathered up. But our Father, in thy hand we can be mighty. So cleanse from sin, as you promised, we confess them, be faithful and just to forgive, and prepare the hearts of those who listen, and empower the lips of him who speaks. Bless us this morning, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Before man ever asked for a sign from our Savior, God had an abundance of signs planned to display before him. Well, if that is so, what did our Savior mean when he said in Matthew 12, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, save the sign of Jonah the prophet? You say, that seems strange. When the Savior said no sign would be given, and yet I read you in John that though he had done so many signs before them, they believed not. If you have any wisdom, you will compare these scriptures, and comparing them, at least this interpretation will come forth. In addition to the signs that God had divinely ordained to be displayed to man, upon man's demands for signs from Jesus, not one would be given. The Lord Jesus never, upon request, performed a miracle. Herod was excited when he heard that Jesus was going to be sent to him, because for a long time he had desired to see a miracle worked by Jesus. And when Jesus came to him, Jesus showed him nothing. And in like manner, this morning I read you that the scribes and the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus, and they said, Master, we would see a sign of thee from heaven. The Lord Jesus said, you're not going to get one. So, from a comparison of what he told them in Matthew and what God tells us in John's Gospel, there were reasons behind our Savior's refusal upon their demand to give them a sign. But it does not mean that during his life among his people, no signs were given. But it means this, that no signs were given upon the impulsiveness of man that would say, show your credentials, display to us who you are for this reason. Let me give you an example. Suppose you had been with the Savior when he was preaching to 5,000, and the only food that was available was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you saw the Savior take those loaves and 2 fishes and break them and break them and break them. And everyone who was there was fed. And there were baskets full left over. And then you come up to him afterwards and say, Master, we would see a sign from thee, from heaven. You understand what's wrong with that? You say, why, of course I do. They had just seen an indisputable sign from heaven, and now they want another one. And so, another sign, when they had rejected that sign, would be redundant. It would be unproductive, and for that reason, God, at certain times, in certain places, instructed his son to perform miracles, and people could see them. And if their heart had responded to the working of the Spirit of God, then they would react positively to that sign. But if not, their heart was exposed as being in this condition. Remember, the Lord has just demonstrated a sign from heaven, and they say, show us a sign from heaven. The Lord Jesus said, an evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it. You must understand, the Savior follows his own advice, which is this. Cast not your pearls before swine. Give not that which is holy unto the dog. So when men who had seen light from heaven refused that light, then they categorized themselves as swine and dogs. And the Lord said, do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not give that which is holy unto the dogs. Why? Not only will it be of no benefit to them, but they will turn and attack you and seek to destroy you. And so for that reason, the Lord gave sufficient sign at the appropriate time, and some men responded and some did not. But understand that God intended at every epoch in the history of mankind to present signs unto his creatures to verify that what they were listening to was a message from heaven. That is what we are told in Hebrews is the significance of a sign. Now listen carefully and understand why there of necessity must, at certain periods in the history of man, there must be signs given, because it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first was spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard, God bearing them witness by signs and wonders and mighty works. Did you grasp that? It says, God bearing them witness. And for that reason, those that had heard the Lord Jesus present the gospel, they were converted, and then they went and preached the gospel to every creature. And when they, the original apostles and the early believers, preached that gospel, it said, God bearing them witness. And that was a sign from heaven. Do you understand? There were signs from heaven given when Christ was on earth and when the apostles went forth to preach, and also by their first converts miracles were worked by all. And I must tell you this now, that the word that is translated by one Greek word, semeion, is translated by four different words in your King James Bible. If you read the word sign, wonder, token, miracle, you say, why, here are four different things. It's the same thing. It's the word of sign. It is something that is exceptional, and it has a significance to it. There is a proof to it to verify what has been spoken or what has been done. And we are told that the signs that were given were not for the exaltation of the apostles, but it says, God bearing them witness. And God has always done it. When Moses was to go and speak unto Pharaoh, before he went, God said, show him these signs. I told you that God in the New Testament had abundance of signs planned for man that God might bear witness to the truth of Christ who spoke and of the apostles who spoke. In like manner, when Moses was sent to Pharaoh, God said, show him these signs. He said, what is in your hand? It's a rod. He said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And God said, take it by the tail. And he took it by the tail, and it became a rod again. He said, show Pharaoh that sign. He said, and if he will not be moved by that sign, show him this sign. Put your hand in your bosom. And he put it in, and he brought it out, and it was leprous. It was white as snow. And God said, put it back in. He said, now pull it out. And it was whole like his other hand. He said, show Pharaoh that sign. He said, and if you'll not be convinced by them, then there will be additional signs that shall be shown him. You see? It's not that a man walks into Pharaoh and says, the children of Israel are my people. Let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should let Israel go? And so Moses displayed those signs before him. They were heavenly signs, but please note that when Moses was displaying heavenly signs, the magicians of Pharaoh were displaying hellish signs. And one is as true as the other. It is just as true that Satan caused a storm in the book of Job as that Jesus stilled a storm on the Lake of Galilee. The difference is that one was from hell and one was from heaven. The one wrought by Satan is a hellish sign, and the ones wrought by Christ and his disciples are heavenly signs. So signs are, in the scripture, proofs. It is Satan and his signs of the deceived. That's what it says. There were so many scriptures that you should have had read to you, but for the sake of time, I did not. But it speaks about signs that Satan works to deceive the people that look at his signs. But the Lord Jesus Christ works signs to convince them of the truth that the message that he gives is from the God and his Father from heaven. So there are heavenly signs, and there are hellish signs. And our Savior will only work so many signs at certain times, because he himself knows that a sign of itself will convert no man. Understand that the sign was simply God bearing witness to the truth of the message that the man who wrought the sign spoke. That was the importance of the sign. The sign was not the proof. But if it were a heavenly sign, it was the confirmation of God. It was God's witness, his stamp of approval, that this man is telling you the truth that I've given him from heaven. And this is what happened in the Old Testament with Moses. And in 1 Kings 18, Elijah has a contest with 450 prophets of Baal. And Elijah challenges them to a contest. He says, we will both take a bullet and put it upon the altar, and we will pray to our God, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. And the foolish prophets of Baal accepted the contest. And so they set up their altar and they start crying, Baal, hear us, Baal, hear us, from morning until noonday. And Elijah started taunting them. He said, well, perhaps he's gone to sleep. Perhaps he's on a journey. Or perhaps he can't hear you. And so finally these prophets of Baal became so in a frenzy that they took knives and cut themselves, and it says blood gushed out. And finally nothing ever happened. And so Elijah said, step aside. And then with the simplest kind of prayer, having doused his bullock with bucket after bucket full of water, he prayed to God and he said, oh God, hear me and let these people know that you are God. And as soon as Elijah finished praying that prayer, it says the fire of God fell from heaven and it consumed the sacrifice and the stones and the water. And so all the people said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Notice, Elijah had told them that the Lord was God. He said, how long go you limping, halting between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. And Elijah said, the Lord, he is God. And God confirmed, he bore witness that the words that Elijah spoke were true by fire from heaven. That was a heavenly sign. The Lord Jesus had that same experience in Mark chapter 2. He spoke words, and people said, they are hellish words. The Lord Jesus healed a man that was dumb and was blind, and when he did, the man saw and spoke. And they said, this man does not perform miracles, but by the power of Beelzebub. I see. So the Lord Jesus performs the miracle, and this miracle that was undeniably from heaven, they say it's from hell. And in Mark chapter 2, a paralytic is let down through the roof, and the Lord Jesus said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Pharisees that were listening said, this man blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And the Lord Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, I'm going to show you something, that you may understand that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. Watch this. He said, take up your bed and go home. And the man took up his bed and went home. And they were filled with amazement and said, we never saw it on this wise. Understand, the Lord Jesus had spoken with his lips and said, son, thy sins be forgiven. Now I can tell you, as many priests do, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven. Those are lies. No one can forgive sins but God. I can tell you how to get forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and his precious blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sins. Sins are forgiven in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way I can forgive your sins. But some would say, your sins are forgiven. They said, this is blasphemy. I say, it is blasphemy today for any man to say, I of my own authority can forgive you your sins. I say this, that if he can, then as the Lord Jesus, he demonstrated it. He said, that you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. Stand up, go home, take up your bed, and walk. And the man did it. Now, what can they say when something like that happens? Nothing. But you do not find any of those that are forgiving sins today that say, that you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins, because no man has authority apart from Christ to forgive sins. But the Lord Jesus had that authority on earth from his Father to forgive sins. Now, in like manner, the disciples, please notice that I told you that every epoch in the history of man, when God said signs should be produced, man did not demand them, and God reluctantly gave them. God anticipated the need of signs and gave them in abundance. And so it was with the apostles. To tell you of one, in Acts chapter 3, there is a cripple from his mother's womb laid at the gate, beautiful. And Peter says, silver and gold had I none, along with John. He said, but what I have I give thee, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he gave him his right hand. And that man who had been lame from his mother's womb stood up and leaped and was praising God and running. And this is what the people did. They said, a notable miracle has been wrought by them, and we cannot deny it. You see, God was bearing witness to what they said. Peter had said, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. And power came from heaven and entered into the bones of this man, and he was healed. And therefore, it was the witness of heaven that what this man had said was true, and it was confirmed by a sign. It's translated a miracle, but a miracle that has significance to it. That those who know not how to walk, those who walk in sin, or those who have not ability to walk in the ways of God, when the power of God enters them, they're able to walk in this world, and they're able to walk in the paths of God. All these signs have significance, which cannot be dwelt on today. Therefore, what grieves the heart of the Lord Jesus and causes an outburst from him is this, that men who have seen signs ask for more signs, and that those who had seen abundance of signs rejected those signs. It says, at that season, Jesus began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. Notice, here are cities where most of his mighty works are done, because they repented not. I have told you that it is impossible for a miracle of itself to save a man. And the Lord Jesus performed his mightiest miracles, most of them, into certain cities. And he said, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been wrought in Tyre and Sidon, which were wrought in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. And so here are miracles wrought by Christ, but the miracles of themselves do not produce the desired effect upon the hearts of those who are hardened, who will not believe. And there's no way I could save you if I were to work a miracle from heaven this morning, if your heart were hardened against God. And so there are different reactions when miracles are wrought. Let me show you the different reactions from John's Gospel, first of all, chapter 2. It said, when they saw the signs that Jesus did, many believed on him. And it said, but Jesus did not believe them. They trusted him, apparently, but he would not trust them. What kind of faith is that? But his signs did have some effect on them. A kind of faith in Christ that Christ cannot trust. Tell me, are you that kind of believer? Are you? Think now. What kind of faith does Jesus have in you? What kind of faith do you have in Jesus? But in chapter 3, Nicodemus was a different kind of man. And it says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man come from God, because no man can do these miracles that you are doing unless God be with him. You see that the sign had been successful. Nicodemus knew that God was with the Lord Jesus, but the sign had not converted him, because the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. And had you lived and seen the miracles, heard the words of the Lord Jesus, it does not mean that you of necessity would have been saved. It stirs Nicodemus, and he wants to know more. But the Lord Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then, in John chapter 6, this is what is remarkable, that the same sign of feeding the 5,000 has two different effects upon the same people who witness that sign. When some of them see this miracle, they say to one another, this is of a truth, the prophet that is coming into the world, they know that this is God's prophet from heaven. But there were others. When Christ left them and went to the other side of the lake, they got in their little boats and crossed the lake, and they were seeking the Lord Jesus. And they said, Rabbi, how did you get over here? And the Lord Jesus said, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. There were base ulterior motives. And that's what some signs can do to people. What do signs do to you? If they're in you and you see one sign and you say, I want to see another sign from heaven, then you are characterized as a sinful and adulterous generation. If something comes from God beneficial to you and you care not for the spiritual significance, if you know that here is a man that can take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000, then there is a base motive. And therefore, even when Christ performs miracles, it does not mean that his miracles are going to have the effect upon the hearts of men that God desires them. But at least God is going to have certain miracles performed, because it is one of the ways that he convinces the heart of men as to who his Son is, that they should trust in his Savior. That is why I read you John chapter 20, verse 30. Listen, it says, many other signs, many other miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. You say, that is the significance. That is the purpose of a sign. Yes. It is to confirm, and it is to have God's witness, his stamp of truth upon the word spoken by Christ. And when Christ said, I am the light of the world, and he had just opened the blind eyes of a man, then that is God bearing witness that he is the light of the world. And when Lazarus is dead and his body is decomposing, and he calls Lazarus from the grave, and then Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, then that confirms, and it is God's witness to the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And this is what is so heartbreaking, and this is what disappoints the Lord Jesus so much. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And I told you the different reactions that they had in John 6 when they ate of the loaves and the fishes. And the same thing happens in John chapter 11. What happened? It says, many of them that came to the funeral of Lazarus, when they saw this miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead, it said they believed. But it said others went away to the authorities and reported what Jesus had done. And then there was a collusion to have Jesus put to death. Miracles will convert no man. But if a man's heart is open, and if a man's heart is following the light given from heaven, then, as they who sow in seed the 5,000, they shall say, this is of the truth the prophet that God sent into the world. And if a man's heart will allow the light to shine upon it and not reject it, he will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And when he believes that, then you have life. You pass from death unto life. And so it's not the miracle that converts, but it is the understanding that God is bearing witness to the truth of the words that are spoken. And when those words are spoken, and God bears witness to the truth of them, and there is only one thing to do, and that's believe. The Lord Jesus asked a question. He said, tell me, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or was it from men? And they said, we can't answer that question. If we say it's from heaven, he'll say, why did you not believe him? If we say it's from men, then the people will stone us because they believe that John is a prophet. They understood that if they answered, why, John's baptism is from heaven, the next step is then, why do you not believe him? And if a miracle is wrought, and God bears witness that it's the truth from heaven, why not believe the words that are spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ? The reason is that your heart is adamant, and that you have no desire to be saved. But you have not only neglected salvation, but you have rejected salvation. It says the Lord Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. Think of a man who sees the resurrection and the life raised from the dead, a decomposing body, and then they go into the city and try to put this man to death. And the sad thing, as what Christ experienced in John 11, the disciples experienced in the book of Acts, because when this cripple from his mother's womb is healed, the people said, we cannot deny this miracle, but let it proceed no further, let's threaten the people that wrought the miracle. Do you not see the contradiction? That Christ raises the dead, and they say, he has power to raise the dead, we're going to put to death. And here is one who can heal those that are cripples from their mother's womb, And they say, this is a notable miracle, we cannot deny it, but we're going to tell it not to spread any further. Why? Because it would destroy that superstructure of religion and that self-exaltation that they had built up, and they were not prepared to receive it. And that's the reason that some of you are not saved. You know what happens if you trust Christ as Savior. The life of sin, all the great plans that you have for yourself, they'll be destroyed. And then you'll be able to say, what things were gains to me? I've counted loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I count them to be but dung. And you're not prepared to look upon the things of the world that you think are so important and say they are dung in comparison to the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And so what do you do? You do everything in your power to put to an end the spread of the gospel, and you oppose it. And so, what happened in Moses' day, what happened in Elijah's day, what happened in Christ's day, what happened in the apostles' day, happens today as well, and you may be an example here of those who know the truth of my words, that God is bearing witness that what I am telling you is true in your heart, and you say no. Why? For this reason. Had I lived when Christ was there? Had I been fed by the 5,000, that would have been a sign. Had I seen Lazarus raised from the dead, that would have been a sign. But I do not live in that age. I live now. So how is God going to confirm it? He is going to confirm it by the written record from which I read this morning, that the Lord Jesus did perform these miracles, that his disciples performed these miracles. And he says, these are written. Not these signs are performed, but this is a writing about the signs that perform, and they are written that you may believe. Believe something that is written in a book that proceeds from the lips of a sinner saved by God, and that's the way that God saves today. And if you cry, I want more signs, then you are like unto those who have the abundance of signs, and it says, Christ did abundance of signs. These have been selected by God and written, and if you want to be saved, you read and you believe them, and you will be saved. But if not, then I say, a sinful and adulterous generation seeketh after signs now, when a profusion of signs has been given. And at the same time, there is light from the book, and there is the working of the Spirit of God in your heart. And if that will not convert you today, then there will be no conversion. But this is what is going to happen to you. If you will not believe me, and the Spirit of God will tell you that I am telling you the truth about the Lord Jesus, you know what's going to happen in a future day if you are here during the tribulation period? You're going to believe in miracles. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 24, and it says in Revelation 13, that great signs are going to be wrought by hell, by the dragon. And it says, men are going to be deceived by those signs, and an idol is going to be made, and men are going to worship that idol. And so that's what's going to happen to you. I tell you the truth about the Son of God, and you reject the Prince of Life, and you listen to a lie from hell, and you believe it, and it results in death. And so the Lord Jesus speaks the truth. It is confirmed, is witnessed to by God in the miracles that he performed, and you will not believe the signs that produce life. But if you will not believe the signs that produce life, then you will be deceived by hellish signs that produce death, and it is your just reward. Whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord, and he shall be saved. And at the same time, let him read these signs, and if his heart is open, the Spirit will draw, and he will say, yes, Lord Jesus. These signs are written that you may believe who Jesus is, and believing you might be saved. Believe what God has written in his word. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the truth that you've given from the beginning of time. Did you not, first of all, provide for our parents in the garden, and then through the lives of the saints at every period when necessary, you confirm you bore witness to the truth, and you do today by thy Spirit what was said. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. And that is how thou art working today, and so this day work in the hearts of those who are present. Our Father, let men, having heard of these signs that Jesus wrought, believe in Jesus, and believing have life in his name. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.